Hey, everybody, and welcome to the only movie podcast in the whole wide world. I'm your A host, Dan.
And I'm the B host, Rob.
Yeah, we're going to have a fun time.
Yeah, it's the ASMR episode.
Stop. Oh, God. It's all coming together. Please, somebody stop us. Rob, I'm going to swat you if you do not stop. Okay, box office numbers. I'm going to just keep on rolling so we can't do it. Literally no money. People spent like $10 at the movies this weekend.
It was a shitty weekend for the movie industry. You know, they only made a couple $10 million.
Yeah, this was, considering Venom made more than all of these movies put together in its first weekend. Ralph Breaks the Internet came out in first somehow, $16 million. Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, $15 million. And then Creed 2, $9.9 million. I mean, I guess it makes sense because nothing else came out this weekend.
Yeah.
We're starting to see the time of the season when it's a lot of limited releases coming out.
Yeah, so, I think like Mary Queen of Scots came out this weekend.
Ooh, yeah, you're right.
And you know that Disney was getting nervous about that dethroning Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, no pun intended. I heard not a lot of people saw that movie, and I also heard it was not that good.
Same.
So we'll see about that. But it looks like Ralph Breaks the Internet might flop. It's still $30 million away from meeting its budget.
That's domestic.
True.
What's its global?
No, that's total gross. I believe that's total gross.
I do not believe you.
Okay, look it up. I dare you.
I will.
Dr. Seuss's The Grinch made $223 million.
Oh, yeah. Worldwide, Ralph Breaks the Internet has made $259 million.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I'm sure they're probably not too happy with its performance, though. I'm sure with the production budget of $175 million, they were hoping for way bigger returns. But I'm sure there was also a shit ton of merchandising that they did.
Oh, yeah, and considering the whole movie is like an ad for Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have made a lot off of product placement.
This is Disney masturbation right here.
Yeah, just like all Disney movies from now on. There's got to be, the government needs to come in and start breaking up these companies.
Yeah.
Because when everybody is like answering to Disney, I don't want to live in that world.
Dude, when the trust busters come in and they start forcing Disney to auction off their properties, which one are you going to buy?
I'm going to buy... I'm going to buy Pixar.
You're going to buy all of Pixar?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking one fucking movie property.
One property?
But I mean, hey, if you have the money to buy all of Pixar, right, man, go for it.
I feel like I could do better than whatever they've been doing. Let's see.
Pixar?
What would you buy?
I would probably buy Treasure Planet. Or Atlantis, one of those two properties.
Those are better, yeah. We need like anime series on Netflix for those.
Oh, please.
Yeah, Treasure Planet. Ooh, what a good movie.
Dude, Treasure Planet's fucking awesome. I don't care what anyone says. Treasure Planet fucks so hard.
You know what? Everybody listening to this podcast, go look up the Johnny Resnick song, original song for that movie. That's a good song.
Go look up the Goo Goo Dolls original song for that movie.
That's what I just said. Johnny Resnick is the lead guy from the Goo Goo Dolls.
No, dude. Goo Goo Dolls is a collective. You can't just say Johnny Resnick.
Yeah, but I don't think it was the Goo Goo Dolls. I think it was Johnny Resnick.
I'm pretty sure it was the entirety of the Goo Goo Dolls.
All right. I guess we'll never know.
I don't think it was like Johnny Resnick and then the Disney Orchestra. I think it was just the Goo Goo Dolls.
All right. Just keep riffing and I'm going to look it up.
Oh, my God. What do you want me to riff on? Dr. Seuss's The Grinch? That movie is a riff on itself. Come on.
Is that really all you got?
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I'm almost there. Don't worry.
Because you just
have to be
right.
Wow, this is a big... Okay. Yeah, maybe. Okay, there was a canceled sequel. This is a fun little deep dive.
Oh, yeah. Let's
a canceled sequel. Yeah. Oh, man. So they were in early development in the sequel. Jim Hawkins and Kate... His love interest and classmate at the Royal Interstellar Academy must team with Long John Silver to stop the villainous Ironbeard from freeing inmates of Botany Bay Prison asteroid. Willem Dafoe was set to voice Ironbeard.
What? Oh, yeah. Man. Now I'm just disappointed.
And the sequel was canceled when Treasure Planet disappointed at the box office.
I think it made like less than $100 million at the box office.
Yeah.
Because that was, I think, was that before Pirates Were Cool?
Pirates have always been cool, first of all.
No, they weren't. Pirates were not cool until Curse of the Black Pearl. Until Disney made Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Pirates were not cool.
Okay, I'm still here. Jim's theme is Single by Johnny Resnick. All right.
All right, moving on. Fuck you. Moving on.
We wasted several seconds on that.
This is important information to know. Now everybody can be disappointed with Disney for not greenlighting a Treasure Planet 2 sequel.
Yeah, because even Atlantis got a sequel, right?
Like a direct-to-video sequel. Milo's Return. Dude, I'm so glad that they don't... I don't think Disney really does that anymore, do they?
Like direct-to-video sequels? Yeah. I bet they do. We just don't know about them because who is... I mean... Does direct-to-video, like, mean anything anymore? I think it's just, like, Netflix stuff now.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess, yeah, we'll probably see it resurge once Disney launches their own streaming platform.
Oh, yeah. A lot. It'll be all direct-to-video.
A lot of really shitty sequels, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people will watch anything if you put it in their house.
One, kids will watch anything if you're a parent that doesn't like your kid and you just want to fucking sit him down in front of a TV for, like, 8 hours at a time.
Turn on Santa Paws, man.
Yeah, put on fucking Air Bud 37.
Exactly. So we'll all see when the Disney streaming channel launches and ruins streaming.
Yeah.
Disney's going to ruin streaming for all of us.
Yeah. I will say, though, it's not going to happen, but I want Hiro Murai to make a Lando spinoff series for the Disney streaming platform with Donald Glover. I think that would be amazing.
There are worse ideas. And not that many better ideas that I've heard in a while.
God, could you imagine?
That could be pretty interesting.
And the only reason I believe that has any shot at happening is because I don't think that Disney's going to be making like a solo Lando film after, you know, Solo's performance at the box office.
The Solo
this year.
Cinematic universe will live on.
It will live on TV.
What I really don't want is... And they're already starting to do this. They did the same thing with like Marvel. And now to get Star Wars, I got to see a million different things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I hate that so much.
No, dude, I'm super into it.
Yeah.
I love shared universes. I think they're so much fun. And it's not like you don't really have to see, like, you can watch any Avengers movie for the most part and be okay without having seen every Marvel film. The only one I would say you need to see to understand like the most recent Avengers is like Thor. Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty important. But it's also a great movie, so whatever.
Right, yeah. That's one of the best of the Marvel movies. And I didn't see it, and the way that Avengers Infinity War started, I was very confused on everything.
You're like, why is the Hulk here? What is going on? Like
what's all this then?
Thor has short hair? What the fuck? He's also missing an eye.
Right. Something must have happened.
Yeah. But also, I love that you Disney's... That's kind of smart from a business perspective, though, because it's like Disney's forcing you to see... Like, this is a good segue into the Avengers Endgame trailer, which we'll be talking about in a second. But they're forcing you to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp at this point. Because that movie, it did well at the box office. It had, like, some pretty great returns, but Ant-Man is not the biggest Marvel property. But... they made Ant-Man intrinsic to the plot of Avengers Endgame, so.
See, I feel like I'm the opposite. I think that's a bad thing, because I think that a movie that forces me, like a big cultural event that forces me to like go out and watch. This is not like, they're trying to make it like the new water cooler thing, where it's like with TV, everyone has the same TV. We're all watching at the same time. It's like, hey, do you see it on Sunday? Oh, you missed it. Well, I guess not.
Okay, yeah, but the Avengers is way fucking cooler than Friends.
It is not as cool as Game of Thrones.
Period. I don't know. It's pretty fucking cool.
But
man. It's not like constant water cooler talk, you know, because these are these are like yearly events. Like Game of Thrones, when it's airing, was like a weekly event. But nobody really talks Game of Thrones when it's off. And I don't think like Avengers has like the couple weeks after it launches, it has that discussion power. But, you know, I don't really talk with any of my coworkers about Avengers right now.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm talking about packaging, getting people to watch things they would not normally watch. driven by the water cooler factor. Like,
yeah,
if
they're trying to give people better taste, you know?
I don't know if that's... No, I think they're trying to make more money, and I think that's literally
obviously
the only...
they're trying to make more money. We live in a capitalist society, Dan.
I guess this is just a greater critique
this
of capitalism.
This is a way better money-making tactic than, you know, forcing somebody with a mortal disease to pay $7,000 per pill for their disease, you know?
You're right. This is, yeah. Disney is more ethical than the healthcare industry. You got me, Rob.
That's my thesis.
Right, yeah. Oh, God. Sure. So the high of this week is the Avengers Endgame trailer. And this is, we're doing the highs and lows. It was a great trailer. I'll say right off the bat, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Avengers Endgame. There is nothing in this trailer that tells us anything about what is going on.
Yeah. There's like no action in this trailer either, which I'm extremely proud of Disney for going for. Like, it doesn't reveal a single thing. There's no action. Like, it's not really trying to sell this movie because it knows it's already sold. It's
right.
More
well,
of just
it,
like,
it does tell us that Ant-Man gets out of the quantum realm.
Yes.
Without outside help, presumably.
Yeah. And it tells us that Tony Stark is still lost in space.
Right. Which is going to be a great transition for the Disney miniseries, Tony Stark, Lost in Space. Which you'll need to, it'll be sold in episodic segments
on
before
Disney
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, kill me. But I like this. It's setting a good tone. I still have no idea what is going to go on in this. So I guess they're trying to, we know there's a plan, and that is it.
And the plan probably involves time travel.
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, do we think so? Annihilation is... We also got the title of it. So Annihilation is completely off the table. What do you think this movie's going to be about, Rob? You know more about comic books than I do.
So I still think that... I think the plan may... Like, I do not think that Thanos is going to be the only villain of this film. I don't think they're just going to reuse the villain of the previous film.
Yeah.
And I do still think that, like, Annihilus is a potential villain. But they also just maybe using, like, maybe they'll introduce Galactus. Like, we're getting closer and closer to the Fox acquisition, and pretty soon all the X-Men and, like, Fantastic Four properties are going to be Disney's too. And you know they're rolling those into the MCU. It is inevitable.
Interrupt, I believe this movie was in production and probably conceived before that was going to go through.
This is true?
And imagine the big fuck up you'd have to deal with if you were like putting in the culmination of like 12 years of work on this thing that you couldn't use.
Yeah. But think about Civil War. Remember how soon like Spider-Man, like the rights to Spider-Man went to Marvel? It was like 4 months before Civil War came out and they were still like, fuck it, we're putting him in the movie. Spider-Man was in Civil War after like 4 months of the announcement coming out that Disney owned Spider-Man, or Disney had the rights to Spider-Man in their films now. And yeah. I feel like it could be something similar. I'm not 100% saying what's going to happen. And I feel like this is what gets me so excited about this film. Aside from the fact that it is the end of like our current Avengers run. This is not really based off any previous comics. So it's difficult to predict what is actually going to happen in this film, because I do not think it's going to resolve like the Infinity War comic resolved. And if we're going like pulling from
with
other,
everything going back to normal.
Yeah. So in the comics, fucking Nebula steals the Infinity Gauntlet and just snaps everything back to normal. I don't think that's what's going to go down in this one. I think that the first Infinity War had some callbacks to like Gamora situation, because like in the comics, Nebula was captured by Thanos, and Thanos like just kept her in a state of perpetual death, perpetual undeath, I guess is you could put it better.
So aliveness,
alive, like, but alive
like
in a corpse,
zombiness. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and so in Infinity War, you saw her like she was like floating there with like herself being completely disassembled. And she was like that for God knows how long. And I thought that was kind of a cool callback. But I don't think that Endgame is going to resolve with Nebula stealing the gauntlet and just snapping everything back into place. I think Thanos is going to be more of an anti-hero in this one, because I do think that eventually we're going to see who the villain is, and Thanos is going to realize, like, I fucked up. I shouldn't have snapped all the heroes away.
Right. So you think that Thanos is going to realize, you think there's something that Thanos knows, that there is some kind of threat, and that he's going to have to get everyone back, and that they're all going to have to fight this new big bad.
Yeah. I think something like that is going to happen. I'm curious to see how Captain Marvel plays into it, because I also don't think everybody's like, oh, Captain Marvel is going to come in and fucking kick Thanos' ass. Look at how powerful she is. I don't think that's what's going to happen. That's not what's going to happen.
Right, because, and for everybody, we've lost everybody who doesn't care about Marvel already, so we're just going to keep going. Captain Marvel comes out 2 months before, actually like a month and a half before now. Did you see they just changed the release date of Avengers Endgame?
Yeah, it's like
April 26th.
Yeah.
And I believe Captain Marvel comes out March 9th. So that means Captain Marvel needs to introduce an entirely new character that is pivotal to a 12-year long series, and that is going to help. So I think the key has got to be in the Captain Marvel movie.
I think we're going to see Annihilus or like one of the other cosmic entities in Captain Marvel. I don't think that's going to be the main villain, but we're going to get hints of like, oh, so this is the power of whatever like Lovecraftian creatures living out in the depths of space that we haven't seen yet. And I feel like that character is going to be reintroduced in Endgame, and it's going to cause Thanos to be like, ah, shit. He's got his fucking armor on like the Scarecrow right now. He's going to be like, oh, well, I guess my retirement wasn't that long lasting. Everyone's coming back. We're going to fight.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see. But for now, we have no idea.
And I love that we have no idea. I love that this movie feels completely unpredictable for the first time in like 10 years since the Marvel Universe started.
Yeah. Do you think we're ever going to get a trailer that tells us, do you think there's going to be a trailer after Captain Marvel premieres that's going to be like, well, here's the plot?
I think there's going to be a stinger, but dude, I hope not. Like, Disney knows, like, they have enough mind share in this event, like the whole Avengers property, that they don't have to reveal a goddamn thing about this movie, and this movie's still going to make more money than the first Infinity War.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is going to be an event.
Yeah. I'm going to have to buy my tickets as soon as they go on sale online.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. This is going to be, I'll have to just not go on the internet.
Right.
This is going to be spoilers. Like sold out in matinees, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You'll be able to see this at like 10 a.m. in a packed theater.
When was the last time that happened? Force Awakens, maybe?
Titanic? Yeah, I don't know.
God damn it, James Cameron. When is James Cameron directing an Avengers movie?
Hey, as soon as he finishes Avatar 5.
Yeah.
I'm still keeping up with that Avatar news. Very interested.
I can't believe that's actually happening. I'm glad Stephen Lang is coming back to Avatar, though. Even though he fucking died in the first one.
He'll be a robot now.
He's going to be a tree.
Exactly. Earth robot.
He's going to be a fucking plant.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go into the low. It's a mild low this year. This time. I don't know. It's the Golden Globes, everybody. The Golden Globes, their nominations came out, and boy, do I not understand any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and this is the year that I've seen the most movies since we started this podcast. I've seen the most movies in 1 year than I ever have before, and I don't know hardly anything that's going on these nominations.
These are all made up. Like the Hollywood Foreign Press, that's a made up entity.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
It's whoever lobbied the hardest for these awards.
So you got Best Supporting Actor. You get Sam Rockwell for Vice and Best Supporting Actor. But Best Actor, you've got John C. Reilly for Stan and Ollie, a movie I've never even heard of. And you don't have Christian Bale, who's playing the main guy in Vice. Like,
he's too fat.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, motion picture, musical, or comedy. So they're putting in Vice as a comedy.
It is a comedy. Haven't you seen the trailer?
Right. Exactly. But I'm confused. I'm just confused on why this is. You've got best.
Let's talk about the most egregious choice.
Okay. Best motion picture drama. I'll just read them off. in order of insanity. No, you got Black Klansman. All right, I'm with that.
Yeah, I can get that.
If Beale Street Could Talk, haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther, hard maybe. A Star Is Born, of course. Bohemian Rhapsody, what the fuck? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I have no idea how this got onto this list. Like, maybe, I don't know. Is Bryan Singer like a Golden Globes darling? Like, did I just not watch the Golden Globes in 2016 and fucking Avengers Apocalypse 1 or something?
He's definitely not a, not that, but I'm so confused. Because, I mean, I get Black Panther. We're all trying to be like, yeah, who? Yeah, anything can
but
make it now.
But you already have Black Klansman.
Right. I mean, it is interesting that you have three black movies. And but what I mean is movies starring predominantly black casts and directed by black filmmakers. You know, Black Klansman, Spike Lee, If Beale Street Could Talk, James Baldwin. Not James Baldwin. Barry Jenkins.
Yeah, James Baldwin.
Black Panther. Yeah, James Baldwin wrote the novel. And Black Panther, Ryan Coogler. Honestly, people who are, besides Spike Lee, people who are on their game and really doing a lot of cool stuff right now.
Yeah.
And then A Star Is Born, of course. I get that. But Bohemian Rhapsody, like, what the? That there are so many. Like, let's even look at Best Director. Okay, we've got Bradley Cooper is A Star Is Born. Alfonso Cuarón, who he can't do Best Picture because it's a Hollywood foreign press rule that if you're nominated for best foreign language film that you can't be nominated for best drama or
that's
best comedy as
so
well.
So fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. But you got Spike Lee, Black Klansman, Adam McKay, Vice, Peter Farrelly, Green Book. And so you got Vice and Green Book, which are not on there. I don't understand. Like,
was Bohemian Rhapsody nominated for anything else? Like, did Rami Malek at least get like a best performance nomination?
Best actor? No, he didn't.
What? The
Wait,
fuck?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Okay. I was
best
like-
actor. You've got Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, where he plays Van Gogh.
I'm pretty sure Lucas it was for
Hedges.
Aquaman.
Yeah, Lucas Hedges, Boy Erased, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, John David Washington, Black Klansman. So. And, you know, John David Washington was okay, and he's definitely not the best part of that about that movie.
Yeah.
So I don't understand where this is going.
I mean, I don't know, but, like, I've also never really given a whole lot of weight to the Golden Globes. Golden Globes to me felt like, you know, like the movie industry's Teen Choice Awards. So
I think the Teen Choice Awards are the movie industry's Teen Choice Awards.
No, the Teen Choice Awards are like a completely separate entity. So like the Golden Globes are like where people can vote for dumb shit, like guilty pleasure shit, and still feel like, oh, we're prestigious. Like, you know, we're still part of the upper class. We're still elite. You know, nobody at the Golden Globes is trying to get slimed.
Yeah, okay. I get what you're saying there. But counterpoint, a lot of times, whatever wins best picture, whoever's winning awards at the Golden Globes is a pretty decent indicator of who's going to win the Oscar. And the Oscar is up its own ass about how prestigious it is.
There's a slight correlation between Golden Globes winners and Oscar winners. But I think last year it was pretty, like, there were some pretty drastic differences in award categories. And I know for sure, like, Three Billboards didn't win best picture.
Yeah, you're right.
Even though it won best Golden Globe drama, or what? I hate that they separate it into two different categories too. Like,
see, I kind of like how they do that, but they also, it doesn't make sense how they do musical or comedy. Like they did The Old Man and the Gun, I guess, is technically a comedy.
Yeah, I mean, that's also implying that like those genres just can't win Best Picture of the Year. Like, I think people always give more weight to like the best drama.
Yeah, and I think that's what's good about this is it's kind of like, hey, let's imagine that these aren't in the same category. So you're more likely to give. But even
the category's film, though. You know what I'm saying, Dan?
Yeah. I get what you're saying. And that's why we have the Oscars. But the Golden Globes are supposed to be fun. It's just so they can get more movies in there. But like, look at like Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy. You've got The Favorite, which I haven't seen, but I heard is great. Green Book, Vice, Mary Poppins Returns, and Crazy Rich Asians. I'm like, all right, maybe.
Sure. I mean, that's a fine movie, but
it's also hard when these, when I haven't seen these, like, you know, Mary Poppins Returns or Vice, they haven't come out yet.
Man, they should just call the Golden Globes the White Genocide Award. Am I right?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Are you working on your tight five?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm working on my solid 10. What are you talking about?
A loose 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just want to riff on that. It just seems real weird.
I hate
and
it.
I like watching the Golden Globes, but I also think that might be influence on Ricky Gervais doing the best. Ricky Gervais does the best hosting of any award show of just being like, listen, we all hate you for being so rich. Like,
yeah,
it's hilarious. He just like roasting the like stars and it's like, nobody cares but you. Nobody cares. Like that is so funny.
But so
I wish
when,
they would ask him back.
Yeah. When was the last time he hosted?
Like 2 years ago.
Damn. Get him back.
Yeah. I hope he would do it.
Do you know who's hosting this year?
Yeah, it's Andy Samberg and Sandra Oh.
I don't know who Sandra Oh is, but I mean, I like Andy Samberg.
Gray from Grey's Anatomy.
What? There's a character named Gray in Grey's Anatomy?
Well, I think her name is something Gray. And so it's a pun because, you know, they've got the book.
Yeah, I mean, Grey's Anatomy is like the anatomy book, but.
Right. But it's spelled differently for the TV show.
So her name, what is like Sarah Gray or something?
Yeah.
Is it actually exactly. Sarah Gray?
Well, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm looking it up right now.
Dude, is that show still going?
Yes, I think.
Oh, my God.
It's been going on since. Yeah, no, it's still going. It's been going on since 2005.
Holy shit. I just remember seeing the ads for that after I was watching Lost.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look at all of this. There's so many people on this movie. On this show, I mean.
I mean, yeah, if it's been running for fucking 13 years.
Yeah, what is, how do I even find what the cast, yeah, main characters. Meredith Grey, and it's actually Ellen Pompeo is Meredith Grey. Sandra Oh is Christina Yang, who's a different character.
Is she Asian?
Is Sandra Oh Asian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her character's name is Christina Yang.
Wow, don't be fucking racist, Dan. Jesus.
All right, yeah, I guess you're right on that. But her name is Sandra Oh, and her character's name is Christina Yang. Sorry for discriminating. I originally thought she was Meredith Grey, so shows what I know.
The only one-letter actor I can think of right now is, what's her name? Maggie Q. You remember Maggie Q?
No, but she's British, right?
I think so. She's a Eurasian, British-Asian person.
Eurasian.
Yeah, I just remember her because she was in Balls of Fury starring Christopher Walken.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's a callback.
Quite.
Yeah, I'm gonna forget about that. All right, so that's our Golden Globes, and I guess our toss-up going right into it is, so the Oscars have been having a little bit of an issue this year. They can't find a host, first of all, and then they found a host, and then bad stuff.
I think within the same day as the announcement, they're like,
within minutes.
Fuck. Yeah.
Which, I mean, it should just be like, it's kind of like a sport now. It's like, oh, this person's announced or something. Let me go into their tweets.
It's not that fucking hard. You know, I've cleaned up my own Twitter just by searching words that you would not say in 2018 in the fucking like, there's a search feature on Twitter precisely for that. Like, just type in any like offensive word you think you might have used in a tweet. You can find those tweets from like 2009 and just get rid of them. So,
yeah,
like,
honestly,
I don't know, like, one, either why celebrities don't do this, or two, why the Academy doesn't get people to do this for them before they choose a fucking host.
Right. I mean, if there's any people from the Academy listening right now, whenever you hire your next host, pay me. I'll go through all of their tweets and delete the bad ones.
Hey, I'll one up you, Dan. Next time you're looking for a host, Mr. Academy, pay me and I'll fucking host the show. I got my loose 10 ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, boy. So what do you think about this, Rob? What do you think about this Kevin Hart?
Dude, I don't give a shit, man. Like, it was funny. It was funny to have him like be on then off so quickly. And like
he was
his
like
old
the Scaramucci.
Tweets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see some of his old tweets and like they were
not good.
Yeah. They were pretty bad. And I'm like, oh, fuck. So this guy's like, he's a successful stand-up comedian now. Like, is this what his early humor was like? Just like yelling at gay people in a fucking like 10-person strip club or something? Like,
yeah. Well, that's the question. It's like you go back to the James Gunn thing where it's like, for the James Gunn thing, it's like, oh, this is just so obviously humor and like bad taste. Like, yeah. That you're like, ooh, wow, all right, I get what you're trying to go for,
Kevin
but
Hart's
man,
is like aggressive, like,
yeah, Kevin Hart is like, yo, are you actually homophobic, dude? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, and it wouldn't surprise me if he actually was. Also, I think, my film theory, Kevin Hart's a closet gay person.
Wait, what? You got to flesh that out a little bit more.
No, Kevin Hart, I don't.
Yeah, what do you mean you don't?
I don't go to flesh out somebody being gay, Dan. It's 2018.
But that, okay, yeah. All right, but why do you, okay, counterpoint. Why do you think that?
Did you see the way he was looking at The Rock in Central Intelligence?
No, I've never seen Central Intelligence. Is that what you got?
You really don't have to watch Central Intelligence.
So you think that Kevin Hart is sexually attracted to Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I mean, more than Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but yeah.
Okay.
Who the fuck isn't sexually attracted to Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
That's a fair point. You know, sexuality is a spectrum, so let's acknowledge that.
Sexuality is a spectrum. It's fluid, and I think, like, you know...
And I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is probably pushing a lot of people in a lot of different directions.
No, yeah, nobody's completely straight. You know, you can get pretty far on the straight side of the spectrum, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson is there like a fucking rock stopping you from being 100% straight.
I think, isn't that what... Is it called, like, it's called the Kinsey scale, right?
The spectrum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can be, well, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what anybody could be. It's hard to say with all these social structures around us, you know.
Deconstruct them. We just got to deconstruct them. But here's a quick question for you. Who's hotter? Okay. Who would you rather fuck? Would you rather fuck Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Armie Hammer? It's a tough question, I know, but I want to know the answer.
I think Armie Hammer, because I think that he would be more in tune, you know. it's hard to say. I feel like he would be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson would be more charming in the moment, but I think that he probably is like, this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. You're racist.
He gets his own way, I feel like.
This is how we're gonna do it.
Yeah, exactly. What?
You're just. I get
I've
it.
Got
you're
an
just.
Plan.
You're just racist against Pacific Islanders, man. It's cool.
Yeah. What about you? I guess you're picking The Rock.
No, I'd probably pick Armie Hammer too. Armie Hammer's a fucking like one. He's also. I guess he's rich. He's got that old money.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a turn on.
Right. That Arm and Hammer money.
Yeah, and he's probably less oily than The Rock. You know.
Yeah, I feel like The Rock would hurt you. Like I feel
the
like
Rock is
whatever.
Like, he's like too buff.
Yeah.
Like there was a point like, you know, like his rundown phase, like 2004, 2005. I think that's like peak Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Where he's not like, it's not his bit yet that he's so ripped.
Yeah. Like he's ripped, but he still looks like proportional. But now he's ripped and he looks like a hot dog you left in the microwave for way too long.
Yeah. He looks like he's about to burst.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, boy. No, I think, yeah, Armie Hammer's the right choice. And Armie Hammer's so tall.
I mean, The Rock is tall, too.
How
I'm not trying. I'm
Rock?
Not trying to dump. Yeah. The Rock is like 6'4" or something.
Really?
Yeah, he's fucking tall.
Okay, so he's taller. Isn't Armie Hammer like?
I think he's like
6'7".
6'2". Armie Hammer 6'7". See,
he's
that's
like
too
something
tall.
Insanely
that's like,
tall.
That's like freakishly tall.
Yeah. Okay. Oh wow. The Rock is. He's 6'5". You're right. Wow. I was completely.
Yeah. Give me those Armie Hammer stats.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the same height. So
Are
really,
they really.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that fun?
They're both fucking giants, man.
Yeah, what a fun time we've had.
Truly. I do think that Armie Hammer can do more with his hair than The Rock can, though, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, exactly. There's something. Yeah, he's got the good style. Not that The Rock doesn't have. Let's talk about something else. Let's see. Yeah, I feel like
I'm down to turn this episode into a fucking The Rock versus Armie Hammer fuck contest.
when they bring back celebrity showdown, they should do that. Celebrity showdown, but this time it's kind of gay.
Yeah, and I hope they have Armie Hammer and The Rock on the same episode that to do that. Make it super fucking awkward for them.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have The Rock and Kevin Hart.
Here's an idea. I'm going to pitch this real quick to all of the agents and the movie producers listening right now.
I don't like where this is going.
Reboot Brokeback Mountain with Armie Hammer and The Rock.
All right, that's way better of an idea than I thought it was going to be.
Right?
I would watch that, but I feel like if Kevin Hart is homophobic, then The Rock might be a little homophobic too.
I think he's
probably... The Rock is way better at keeping it under wraps. Like, he would never tweet about it.
See, I don't think so. I think The Rock is probably bi. I think it's probably like a Channing Tatum situation because The Rock is in, like, I feel like anybody who's in like as hyper masculine an industry as WWE probably has to be comfortable with being a little bit gay. I feel like The Rock is at that point.
Okay. I'll validate that.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, I'll let that go. So overall, I think Kevin Hart probably should have been kicked out because I've looked into it and he's said some pretty messed up things in the past. Like, he's got a Rolling Stone article where he's being interviewed and he's like, yeah, I feel like I feel like a failure if my son turned out gay. And I'm like, dude, what the that was in 2015.
Right.
So this guy, I don't know if he's really changed his ways.
Well, it's the thing. I don't think he has because he didn't apologize. And they were like, hey, like, I think I was reading, I forget, it was either Hollywood Reporter or maybe Deadline, but one of them was like, the Academy was willing to let him host if he just apologized for his tweets, and he refused to. So I'm like,
yeah. And he said, like, he's already addressed it in the past. And I looked back, he didn't really address it. Like, I mean, he addressed it. He's like, everyone's like, hey, you said this homophobic stuff. And he's like, yeah, what of it?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, gee, like. Yeah, so I'm glad that they took that off. That's
Just get fucking Ricky Gervais to host it.
I mean, there are worse ideas. Apparently, John Mulaney's name has been floated in the inner circles.
I'd be totally fine with that too.
Yeah, no, I think he'd be a good choice. Yeah. I would really enjoy that.
Or just get get James Franco and Anne Hathaway back. I'd watch that again too.
I would watch that.
Get Sarah Silverman. Dude, I'll be okay with Sarah Silverman hosting the Oscars, too. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be good. I mean, I think that there's a lot of potential out there for a lot of different people. They just have to accept that whoever they pick might be kind of controversial.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but here's the thing. They got fucking Seth MacFarlane to host the Oscars one year.
Yeah, I don't think that could happen this year. Yeah, I don't think that.
Probably not.
Probably not. But he had that good showmanship.
I mean, he is quite a showman. You might even say the greatest showman.
Stop. All right. Let's they
Hugh
can also get Hugh Jackman
the Oscars. Yeah.
Right. He's done it before. So we haven't really introduced what we're interviewing today. So what we're reviewing.
We're fucking lion today.
Yeah, exactly. What we're reviewing. So people who have hung on this long, don't worry. We're going to review something. It is Mowgli, the Netflix original movie.
Hey, don't forget the subtitle. It's very important to the plot of the movie.
Mowgli. What's the subtitle?
That's the subtitle. Mowgli, what's the subtitle?
Yeah.
I think it's called Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle.
What?
Yeah.
Man, this movie's weird.
This movie's so weird. It's Mowgli. Not good. It shouldn't exist.
Is it in? It's in theaters, too?
Oh, I feel bad for anybody paying to see this.
Yeah, it's Legend of the Jungle.
Holy shit.
Yeah, interesting. So starring Rohan Chand as Mowgli, directed by Andy Serkis, and you got Christian Bale, Benedict Cumberbatch, Kate Blanchett. Who else you got?
Oh, yeah.
Matthew Rhys.
I think that there's not Benedict Cumberbatch and Christian Bale, definitely the two biggest names in this movie. I guess Andy Serkis acted in it too, as well as directing.
Right. Yeah. Naomi Harris was in it. Frida Pinto, she's in it briefly. But there's basically cameos. So let's get right into this movie because it's weird. This is a Netflix original movie. If you think like, hey, is this a sequel to that Jungle Book movie? No, it's a completely different Jungle Book movie. You might remember the Jon Favreau Jungle Book that came out 2 years ago.
Yeah. And while it was kind of generic and boring, I think that movie's actually watchable.
Yeah. I mean, this movie's watchable. It just doesn't, there's no purpose for this movie.
Man, I kind of wanted to turn this movie off, but I powered through.
Me too. And it's only like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's so short. Like the Disney Jungle Book is longer.
Yeah, it's, I mean, let's get, so it's the pitch of this movie is, hey, it's like Mowgli, but it's apparently closer in tone to the Rudyard Kipling. I don't know how you say it. Rudyard Kipling is how a normal person would say it. The Rudyard Kipling stories, like it's apparently closer in tone to that. And but this is a little weird. The CGI is a little bit weird. You got the animals all kind of look like the people.
Yeah, and I don't know why they designed it like that. And like it really stuck out to me when so Benedict Cumberbatch plays Shere Khan in this film. And if you're not familiar with the Jungle Book, it's Shere Khan is the tiger and main antagonist of the Jungle Book, who is just trying to kill things. For whatever reason.
He loves eating people, and anyone who tries to stop him from eating people will meet his political wrath.
I love that they tried to turn this into like a political thriller at some points too.
Yeah, it's like, we have wolf law.
Yeah.
The Call order, the Council of Wolves.
The order of the jungle will not be diminished.
Yeah, exactly. We have several rules, and they're very specific.
We have many trials you must go through before you can vote. They have a citizenship test for the fucking jungle in this movie.
Yeah, for the wolves, which I can't tell if the wolves are the jungle. Also, do they have wolves in the jungle? Second question, why is a bear hanging out with all these wolves?
They don't have wolves in the jungle. They don't have bears in the jungle either.
Do they have hyenas? I think a lot of animals kind of just hanging out around here.
Did Rudyard Kipling ever actually even like see a jungle? Or do you think like this is just one of those stories of a dude in like a New York, Brooklyn apartment wanted to write a story about what he thought a jungle was like?
I bet he served in the jungle. I bet he served like in India. He was actually born in India. Fun fact.
Let's see.
He was born in it. Yeah.
Did he serve in India? Because if he was born in India and he's familiar, like, wouldn't he know that jungles don't really have this type of shit?
Yeah. George Orwell, who also served in India, saw Kipling as a jingo imperialist who, quote, was morally insensitive and aesthetically disgusting.
That is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, you get my God.
You get a weird, like, I don't know what this movie has a lot to say about, you know, imperialism, sport hunting, environmentalism, and it doesn't say any of it very well.
Guess what just made this movie so much worse than I already thought it was? So the dude that wrote this, Rudyard Kipling, he also wrote the initial poem, The White Man's Burden.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a dick.
Yeah. So, wow, I can't believe. So Disney actually continued. They're still profiting off this shit. I'm assuming it's in the public domain at this point, but.
Right. Still. Yeah. And that's kind of interesting that because it's very difficult to parse this out. Like you got, I don't even know. The plot of this movie is that Mowgli is, his parents are killed by a tiger, Khan.
Yep.
And he gets raised by wolves, of course. The wolves decide, like, hey, let's, you know what would be weird? If we raise this kid. And everyone's like, sure, why not? And this panther is so, I have to look up the names because I'm bad. Bagheera is the panther, one of Mowgli's teachers. Christian Bale does like the best job in this movie, I think. He is really, really good.
Oh, yeah. I honestly think most of the voice acting is decent. I think Kate Blanchett kind of felt like she phoned it in as a...
Oh, she just did Galadriel. It was hilarious.
Exactly, yeah.
Didn't I think I texted you right when I started being like, this starts the exact same way as Lord of the Rings does.
And it totally does.
Kate Blanchett just like monologuing over this weird scenery. And basically the same voice. She's like... Can you guys just reuse my like vocals for this? Like, no, Kate, everyone's going to know. Like, all right, I'll just read it the same way. And they're like, thank you.
Yeah, this is a weird fucking movie. I will say, I think Benedict Cumberbatch also did a pretty good job as Khan.
Yeah, he was just doing Smaug like from The Hobbit, too.
Yes, Smaug with a little less growl.
Right.
But again,
you can hear like the bass, like he was, they filled out his voice big time.
I love that he gets into these roles. And like, I don't know if he did the motion capture for this one, but for Smaug, he actually did the motion capture for like the dragon's animations, which is pretty cool. And like, I respect Benedict Cumberbatch so much because he's like, you know, he's a classically trained, like theatrical British actor, but he still comes over to America to do all this like silly bullshit, like pretend to be a dragon and be Doctor Strange and be a fucking tiger in a racist's like 100-year-old story.
Yeah, it's fun that he's willing to do all this weird stuff. But going with this movie, it feels almost like an anthology movie to a point.
Oh, none of the stories feel connected.
Yeah, it feels very disjointed. It's like you've got this first part where Mowgli is introduced to the tribe, and then you have, that's like the first like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then jump ahead to he's a kid and he's doing some kid stuff and all the wolves hate him because they're racist because he's a boy.
He's a
meat bag.
And
they're like, hey, you're not a wolf. And he's like, yeah, I'm a wolf. It's like, look around you, dipshit. Like, you are obviously not a wolf. And I think it's hilarious that the monkeys in this movie are like brainless, like dumb animals, and everything else is really smart.
Right. Also, there's no King Louie in this movie. That's fucked up.
I bet they're saving it for the sequel, which I bet will happen. I bet we're going to get a Mowgli too. I bet. Whoa.
No
way.
You don't
think so?
I don't think so.
I bet you Netflix makes another one of these.
God, dude, I hope not.
Yeah. Oh, man. We'll see.
I
Who
think
knows,
the,
man?
The only sequels Netflix has made of their original content, like their original movies so far, are like rom-coms, which is why I don't think this movie's getting another entry.
I feel like, what movie could they have made into a sequel?
I mean, The Cloverfield Paradox.
There's still time, man. It's only been a year. It hasn't even been a year. It felt like years and years ago, but that movie was actually pretty recent.
Yeah, they had like, I mean,
Annihilation came out before that movie.
Fuck, you're right. I don't like to think about that. I want the Cloverfield Paradox just to disappear into history's waves.
Yeah. So I haven't seen the first Jungle Book.
What do you mean the first Jungle Book?
Right. I mean, I have the first of this series.
Mowgli?
I haven't seen the Jon Favreau Jungle Book.
Oh.
So I have nothing to compare to, which I feel like makes my opinion valid. that I'm not like, I saw the better version of this movie. No, I've only seen this movie and it is a pretty boring, not the way, like, the third act is where it gets interesting, and when Mowgli and the people meet, and it jumps around for like 20 minutes and then it pushes through to a conclusion that feels very forced and very nonsensical. There is one pretty intensely dark part in this movie, and I will not spoil it, but
I mean, I feel like we're allowed to spoil it. Like,
I don't know.
Unless we're going to recommend watching this movie. All right. We won't spoil it, but I feel like I know what part you're talking about, but I was cracking up when I saw that reveal. I was like, oh my God, what? This is like, oh man, Andy Serkis, man. I hope you have better luck as a director next time, because, I know you're trying to be Peter Jackson with this. We can all tell from the first 5 minutes of this movie, but maybe take a couple more notes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. A lot of plot that isn't developed out. No real emotional arc.
Not at all.
It's kind of like,
what even is Mowgli's arc in this movie?
Mowgli's arc is that he is not an animal. And so they kick him out.
But he's not a man.
But he's not a man. And then he is an animal. And then they have him like.
But then he also is a man.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense why he feels the things that he does. In the film, operates in like a semi-realistic way. Like, it wants you to take it moderately seriously. But we also have to accept that this kid can talk to animals.
Yeah.
Which is a very underutilized part of this movie.
It's an inherently silly concept that, like, when that's part of your premise, I feel like you can't really have a film that's that dark. And I feel like it's almost the same problem that, like, that Tarzan reboot that came out, I think, last year had, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. with like Alexander Skarsgård or whatever.
Yeah, and like it tries to be so fucking dark and self-serious, but it's also the same. It's the same movie where a man is swinging around in violence. He's doing like the Shia LaBeouf scene from Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, like, but for real. Like that's just how he gets around, and he's talking to apes. And it's completely serious. There's like some Game of Thrones type political drama happening within the Ape Kingdom.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie is a fucking damsel in distress. Like, you can't make that serious. Like, at this point, it's camp. Just lean into it.
Right. Or go full in and making it serious. I think that.
Oh, yeah.
This movie couldn't decide how serious it wanted to be. And it didn't. And therefore, I didn't know how serious to take it. It's like, oh, we've got these talking bears. Like, oh, they've got trials for, you know, you have to run to this spot while this panther who's somehow working with the wolves. Like, what are the dynamics here? Why is this hyena hanging out with this tiger?
Right.
And literally everybody else is hanging out together. Did they like spurn him? This might be an issue. And I was thinking about this throughout the entire movie is this might be just an issue with the original story that is like incoherent. And the only reason I think we like these movies, this concept, is because of the Disney movie where they sing the fun songs.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you there. Like, I think that the reason The Jungle Book is as well known as it is because of Disney's adaptation of it.
Yeah. So they're just trying to like, I mean, this isn't even like a Disney movie though, right?
No,
it's just pure. No, yeah. It's Warner Bros. And the Imaginarium, whatever that is.
Probably it's Andy Serkis's.
It's a mocap thing, and yeah, founded by actor director Andy Serkis. Yeah, so yeah, you could tell that there's just. I know why this went on Netflix because this movie would be impossible to market because it's dark, but it's a kid's movie. It's not dark enough to be an adult movie, and it's way too dark to be a kid's movie.
Yeah,
there's violence. And there's the way that certain laws go on, and I get that they're wolves, but they have certain like rules that don't make any sense. And they're like, all right, challenge me to be the pack leader because I missed this like thing.
Yeah, because I missed the kill.
Right. And so he's got to fight the whole fucking pack. That doesn't make any sense. Like, who make these? Is there like a wolf Abraham Lincoln? Like who made these rules? Who signed? Like, how is this codified? Are they just like pass it down and like we all have the rules of the jungle?
Maybe it made sense at one point, but because it was passed down by word of mouth, it just got like fucked to hell. And they're like, yeah, of course, the entire pack just tries to kill the leader after whatever happens.
Like, oh my god. Yeah.
You know, that's clearly what Andy Serkis was intending to convey with this political structure.
I have no idea what he was intending to convey. I don't know what this movie was supposed to be.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I don't really know if I could say anything more on this. You know, I feel like Mowgli's character doesn't really change.
It doesn't.
It's more of everyone else's perception of him change, but even that, not really.
I mean, you could.
Yeah, like they do, like, but it doesn't feel like a natural thing.
Yeah,
it feels like, hey, it feels more like, hey, this wolf pack, the jungle has got some real stupid rules and it made all of this happen. Like if you go in, you see like all of the conflict is because the jungle has stupid rules.
Yeah.
If they didn't have these stupid rules, the entire plot would have been solved.
Yeah.
I think I just solved the movie. I think I figured out the main issue is that the entire plot really revolves around some stupid rules that these wolves had.
Yeah, this movie really should have been about political restructuring.
Yeah, and I was texting you like, wow, when this, like when Mowgli gets to the human world, like how messed up the human world in like the early 1900s or whatever is gonna make these wolf things look like morons, which is saying a lot. Like, oh man, imperialist colonized India is going to look so much better than this stupid jungle rules. God, man, this movie was dumb. I wish I didn't see it.
I feel like they should have adopted the wolves rules in imperialistic England, though, where like once the fucking king or queen misses their kill, the entire country can challenge them for that position.
In a row, in hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, in a row. There's no stopping for the monarchy. Like, peasants just line up outside the fucking castle and start attacking the monarchy.
Right, the king loses after like two people because you fight one person and you win. Good for you. You have to fight another person. Like what? Like that's
yeah.
No, they should have shelved this movie when they figured out.
Honestly, though, this is just a drop in the bucket for Netflix. Like, you know, and honestly, I feel like Netflix actually wins in this case because Warner Brothers is the one that put up the money for this movie.
Yeah, Netflix is just distributing it.
Yeah, Netflix is probably like, yo, this wouldn't make fucking $10 million at the box office. We'll give you $5 million for it. And Warner Brothers is like, you know what? You're probably right.
Well, see, and that's what I'm wondering. Like, before Netflix, were movies just getting made that were so bad and no one wanted to distribute them? And they're just like, we're being shelved? Like, were multi-million dollar movies, like, are there like lost films out there just like sitting in a warehouse because they were made and then they're like, wow, this is so bad, we won't even make it. We'll lose money if we put it out.
Oh, probably. I feel like that happened a lot in the 90s.
I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. And that's hilarious to me because like when you see the type of shit that makes it into theaters, it really makes you wonder like what didn't make it into theaters.
Yeah, there's got to be at least like one really good one.
Yeah.
You know, one that like everyone was wrong about.
Maybe.
You know,
we're never going to see it, though.
Right. Exactly. Well, man, hey, maybe one day.
But what if Netflix is the one that actually rescues them? Like they just did it with George Orwell's.
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles. Yeah. Orson Welles is the other side of the wind.
Yeah. That's so a lost film that was put back. You know, like how bands have got that one song that they're like, ah, this is garbage. Like, no one's going to like this. But they put it on the album because of contracts and then it becomes a huge hit.
Yeah.
There's got to be something like that for movies where everyone sees it and they're like,
You know what I'm more interested in that, though, is I want to see more. I feel like that happens way more with like television pilots that are produced.
Definitely.
There's so many unaired pilots that I would love to see.
Yeah, because the network pays for the pilot.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, we'll pay for this to get made, and then if they see it, no, they don't like it. It's not like we'll take this thing that we paid for and shop it somewhere else. Like,
yeah, like, well, like, this is ours. Going in our archive. Yeah,
yeah, very interesting. I'd be down to watch some pilots.
Yeah, but I think we both agree this movie should have stayed in the fucking vault.
Yeah, exactly. Open up the Disney vault and throw this back in.
Yeah,
yeah.
Released it on Blu-ray 20 years later.
Yeah. Overall, for me, some of my final thoughts is just this movie's got nothing to say, and it is a telling of a story where things happen, and that's the nicest thing I can say about it.
Yeah,
the performances are all really good. Other than that, you know, the movie should have started like half an hour later and then gone a half an hour longer. Like... You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know if I feel like I still, even with that, I don't know if I really would have been into it just because. Yeah.
They should have cut out the whole wolf like trial part.
That was silly. The only part I really liked, I actually liked Andy Serkis as Baloo. I thought it was kind of cool to have him as this
weird accent.
Yeah, this grizzled drill sergeant for the wolves. I'm like, that makes no sense, but I'm here for it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. The performances really do carry it. They made it almost watchable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my overall as a film, no. And as a flick, also no.
I agree. That's going to be a four no's from us here at Viewing Angles. Like,
yeah, there are better things to see.
Yeah. Just watch The Ballad of Buster Scruggs instead.
Yeah, watch anything.
Actually, you know what? If you want like a dark movie with brown people in it, go watch The Night Comes for Us, because that movie fucks so goddamn hard.
Oh, you're so into that movie.
Dude, it's so good.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it later tonight.
You should.
The original Jungle Book is the 40th highest grossing movie of all time.
What's the most recent Jungle Book, though? I thought that made even
That's
more.
That's the 2016 like, one.
Yeah. Wait, the 2016 is the 40th highest grossing?
Yeah. Adjusted for inflation.
You keep saying the original Jungle Book. You can't say the original Jungle Book when you're referring to the 2016 version.
Why not?
They've made like 8 Jungle Book adaptations.
Yeah, and you know the one I'm talking about.
I didn't until you said the 2016 one.
All right, the 50th highest grossing movie of all time is Shrek 2. Isn't that fun?
I'm very proud of that franchise.
Yeah, what do you think the number one? Oh.
The number one adjusted or non-adjusted?
Adjusted. Wait a second.
Adjusted? It's Gone with the Wind.
No, maybe it's not. Hold on. I don't know. This. Who cares?
Not adjusted. It's Avatar.
Yeah, adjusted for. Yeah. It's, adjusted and then for number two.
Yeah, adjusted for inflation is Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, and then Avatar is number two adjusted, and then Titanic, and then Star Wars, and then The Sound of Music, and then isn't that weird? E.T., and then The Ten Commandments. Like, like Dr. Zhivago was like a huge ass. I've never seen that movie. I don't really care.
Neither have I.
And it. Adjusted for inflation, it made $2.2 billion.
Holy shit.
Isn't that nuts?
Who the fuck? What even is the doctor? What even is Dr. Zhivago? What is that?
Yeah, it's set in Russia between the years prior to World War One and the Russian Civil War of 1917 to 1922. And is based on the 1957 Boris Pasternak novel of the same name. While immensely popular in the West, the book was banned in the Soviet Union for decades. For this reason, the film could not be made in the Soviet Union. It was instead filmed mostly in Spain.
Damn. Cool. Yeah, fuck the commies.
Yeah. Huh, interesting.
It's over 3 hours long.
Oh, my God.
I'm never going to watch that movie.
Yeah. Part one. Part two. Jeez. All right. Yeah. Let's get this over. I've got nothing else to say. What about you?
Nah, dude, this movie fucking not good. Don't watch it. Really, if you really need a fucking Jungle Book fix, just watch the Disney version. Either the animated version or the animated version. You know, you can go for either one.
It's the bare necessities. Just watch that one. Yeah.
Yeah, go for the one with Bill Murray.
The original one, right?
Can you shut the fuck up about original? The 2016
version.
Nothing's
original. Nothing's original.
Everything's a remix.
Everything's a remix.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough for us. We've gone over an hour, most of it talking about how gay we are. I've been Dan Leo. You can follow me on Twitter at the Dan Leo Show. And you know the website, viewingangles.com, and follow us on Twitter at viewingangles. What about you, Rob? How do people... Oh, and then my Letterboxd is DLeo. Follow my reviews.
Yeah, follow Dan's reviews on Letterboxd. You can follow me on Twitter at Robert Jr. JR. Follow me on Instagram at Robert Jr. JR. Follow me on Letterboxd at Robert Jr. JR. And look at our cool shirts at viewingangles.com.
Oh, yeah. I would suggest size up. Size up for the shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, did Mine's a little tight in the torso.
Dude, just work out.
Okay. I'm going to just, it squeezes my entire torso. Yeah, whatever. All right. Well, what movie? We've got like 3 movies next. It's going to be a pretty busy weekend. Yeah. We've got Mortal Engines comes out. The Mule comes out. Another movie comes out.
Spider-Man
Into the Spider-Verse.
Dude, Spider-Man, I'm so fucking hyped for Spider-Man. This movie looks amazing. I feel like this might be, this is being very optimistic, but this might be the first animated picture nominated for Best Picture since 2010, when Toy Story 3 was nominated for Best Picture.
Really? You think so?
It's looking pretty good. And it's also like, God, dude, I could gush about this movie. The animation style looks so unique. I love Spider-Man. It's such a high concept premise. Like, oh, I'm so into this. Also, it's Phil Lord and Chris Miller. They deserve some Oscar noms at this point.
Yeah, I'm really surprised this movie got made.
I'm so happy it did, though. Thank you, Sony. I know we give Sony a lot of shit because you made Venom, but I'll forgive you for Venom if this is as good as I think it's going to be.
Yeah, early reviews are good.
Mm-hmm. It's got a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes with like over 100. How many? It's got 116 reviews and still has a 99%.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
People like this.
Dude, I'm so excited for this.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to decide what we're going to prioritize based on next week. But keep on listening. We love and appreciate you.
Yeah, we
go
love you. We love
say
your
something
faces.
Nice to somebody.
You viewing angels.
Yes. All right. Well, until next week, it's been us.
Bye. Bye.